You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you today. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. God bless you. Be it 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. on WMIE, 5:30 p.m. for our afternoon rebroadcast. Thank you for joining us here today. God bless you. We're in the book of Revelation here on the radio. Actually, here on WGOD, we're hearing now, we just started the book of Revelation Friday. You'll also be hearing in between some of the sermons that are going on here currently at the church. And we are in the book of Acts. That's where we're at here, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We'd love to see you for one of our services. We just were in chapter 13 yesterday. You'll hear that here on the radio coming up soon. But we just started the book of Revelation. This will wind us through a couple months at least. There's 22 chapters here. We're off to a rousing start. We're in chapter 1. Let's pick it up where we left off. We'd love to see you for our next service. That'll be Wednesday night. My associate pastor is heading that up. He is going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, verse by verse, and we'd love to see you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock here at Island. Here now on the radio, we're in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation.
Blessed is he who calls sin, sin, and repents daily. Blessed is he who tries to live right. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is he and she who doesn't cave and takes the government mark in order to buy or sell. Blessed is the one that doesn't listen to the world government. You got to keep it from them. If you take anything home with you today, let it be that. And the message here in verse 7, which we're going to get to here coming up, Jesus calls you blessed. This is the only book in the entire Bible that Jesus calls you blessed. If you do what's written in this book. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, how can he say that? The time is at hand. How can he say that? 2,000 years have come and gone, and we're still here. Maybe he was wrong. No, he wasn't wrong. Once Acts chapter 1, verse 9 happened, once Jesus was taken up in a cloud, and they sat there looking like this, and the angel says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come in like manner. Once that happened, we entered into the last days. And this whole world is on high alert. Once that happened, we enter into this time when Jesus could come back anytime. There's even the remote chance that I could be wrong. At least the remote. And the Lord could come back any second unannounced, and that the Lord didn't run it by me first to see if it fit into my end times theology. I might be wrong. That's why my advice to you is to strive. That's what Jesus said. Are there few who will be saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said strive. We don't know when he's coming back. What's called for you and me is to strive, agonizo, like Jesus in the garden. It said he agonized in prayer. That's what we need to be doing too. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. All right, on to verse 4, John's personal greeting. Yes, I know he wrote it to someone else, and we're reading somebody else's mail. Now, wait until next Sunday. We're going to break into the pastor's office at Ephesus. We're going to open up the letter he got from the Son of God, because prying eyes want to know. I'm just dying to know as a pastor what Jesus said to the pastor at his church. That'll be the next 7 weeks when we get into that. So, yes, he wrote this to someone else, but we certainly can glean a whole bunch of excellent stuff as we apply these truths here to our own lives. Okay, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from... Hey, this sounds like a label on a Christmas present. Remember those labels, you little rectangular? To you from him who is. Wow, what a name! Him who is. So, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler or prince, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us. My translation says, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I like that. Loves is in the present tense. Washed is in the past. Loves us continually. Washed us once, one time. All right, if you're following along on this handout, now we got the Holy Trinity here in the greeting. From him who is, actually is the name of God. Greetings from the being. Greetings from I am, he who is. Notice his name spans time. I am. As the Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi. That is, before Abraham was, I am. And greetings from the Holy Spirit. Now, this note from my Bible knowledge commentary. The seven spirits probably refers to the Holy Spirit. See Isaiah 11. Though it's a very unusual way to refer to the third person of the Trinity. Now, I think Isaiah 11:1 is going to shed some light on this. Let me read it. And again, as I read this, remember, the book of Revelation is where all the junctions, like a train, all come together. It's in 66 different cars, 66 different directions. They all come together in the book of Revelation. Now, the seven spirits. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now, Jesse is David's father. It's a prophecy that from David's family line is going to come the Messiah. So, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's seven right there. I love that. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Boy, we've got that inside of us. The built-in safety device to fear God. You see, Isaiah is fully understood when this train car arrives here at the last stop. This is where you understand Daniel. This is where you understand, well, Daniel as well. But this is where you understand Isaiah here at the end. Everything comes together. In the book of Revelation. And lastly, a greeting from the Son of God, verse 5. It says, greetings from Jesus Christ, who is... You know, actually, these first three chapters is an excellent place to build your doctrine. My warning doesn't kick in until chapter 4 when you get to apocalyptic visions. But here we got great doctrine here in these three chapters. Who is Jesus? Let's read more about him. Greetings from Jesus Christ, who is, number one, he's the faithful witness. He's the faithful witness. Number two, he's the firstborn from among the dead. Number three, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. So the first thing he said is he's the faithful witness. Witness to what? Number one, he's the witness to the existence of heaven. John 14, 2. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So the Lord Jesus raises his right hand, puts his left hand on the word of God, and declares to you that you can have eternal life and spend eternity in heaven and see the face of God. And finally, understand all this, if you do what he says. He's bearing witness to this. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish. He's bearing witness to this. Trust Jesus. He's telling you, heaven is real. You can gain entry and have a part of it by calling on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent. Remember, back in the Old Testament, these people were dying here, left and right. This plague was striking them down for disobedience. Moses put a bronze serpent on a pole, and it said everyone who looked at it was healed. Jesus said the same thing. As Moses lifted up that pole, even so I'm going to be lifted up, that whoever believes in me may have eternal life. So he's a witness to heaven. Number two, he's a witness to the existence of hell. Mark 9:42. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And he says it again, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, Jesus is not telling you to cut off your hand, literally, but he's telling you to get rid of those things that deliberately cause you to sin. Because if it's serious enough, or ends up being serious enough, a person could, according to him, find themselves in hell, where he says, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Greek word asbestos, like what my friends used to warn me back in the day. They said, Esposito, you're going to need an asbestos suit where you're going. So the Lord Jesus is bearing witness to the certainty of heaven, to the reality of hell, regardless of what the Pope tells you, hell is real. And number three, the witness of the very heart of God. He bears witness that God loves you. And he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This is in red letters in your Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, you don't have to burn a calorie, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The apostle testifies to that as well. Romans 5 and 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus puts his hand on a stack of Bibles, raises his other one, and he bears witness to the fact that God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his Son down here to die in your place on the cross. The Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing, not counting your sins against you. He bears witness to it. God loves you. His desire is for you to spend eternity with him. All you have to do is what he says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right, verse 5 again. Grace to you from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the rulers over the kings of the earth. All right, next up, firstborn. Misunderstood word. Greek word, prototokos. Twisted to no end by Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's understand this word better. The word prototokos not only means the first to be born, it means preeminent. And it means a ranking member. I remember those commercials they used to write on the American Express card. Ranking member. Preeminent means you're head over all. It doesn't just mean you're the first person to be born. Let's turn to another place. Let's see this word in action in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15. All right, Colossians 1, 15. Speaking of Jesus, I want you to see the correct way to take this word. See, because some Saturday, one of these knuckleheads is going to knock on your door, and they're going to point to that verse that we just looked at and said, you see, Jesus is not God. He's a created being. He's the firstborn of every creature, meaning God created him. That's what they're going to say to you when they knock on your door. And the answer shouldn't be, well, I think I got my pastor's number here somewhere. You guys should know where to go to refute this evil lie. Well, first of all, the Bible says you shouldn't greet them or let them into your house. They're infected with a virus. You don't want to catch what they have. Anyone who thinks that Jesus is a created being, they've got something you don't want to catch. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this is the spirit of Antichrist. You don't want to catch what they have. Don't even let them into your house. Colossians 1:15. Speaking of Jesus, he is the icon or the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him all things were created. How can you be created if you created all things? By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him, all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. See, the Lord Jesus reigns supreme over all creation, as that next verse reveals there. By him, all things were created. John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. Jesus Christ is God. He's not a created being. He's God the Son. When Thomas saw him alive from the dead, he said to him, my Lord and my God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, understand what he means when he says the firstborn there. That means he's preeminent over. He is Lord of the resurrection, right? He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord over it. He's got the keys of death and of hell. We'll get to that too coming up. All right, now the last part of verse 5. It says, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Normally, blood's the one stain you can't get out of anything. But in this case, blood is the one thing and the only thing that can make you white as snow. It's blood. It's his blood. It's supernatural. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 both declare, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. It's the blood that cleanses you from your sins. People wonder, why the cross? Answer, because the Son of God shed his blood on the cross. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. It is the blood of Christ that makes an atonement for your soul. Jesus' blood shed on the cross has redeemed all of you who believe and have received him as your Lord and Savior. The blood. Is there any more important verse in this whole book? We need to slow down here for a minute. I don't want to gloss over that. The blood makes an atonement for the soul. Verse 6, and he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow, and all that just in the prologue to this book. Now let's start this sermon. Let's look at one more thing. Let's look at the promise of his return. How is Jesus coming back? Verse 7. It says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even so, meaning it is what it is. Game over, people. Even so. Sorry, there's no turning back. He's coming back now. Ball game's over. The fat lady has sung. Here comes Jesus. Even so. Even so, there's 4 billion unbelievers out here. Even so. Even so, all that dwell on the earth are going to worship the Antichrist. Even so, he's coming back now. Even so, it's all over. Even so. Now, look at the response at the return of Jesus Christ. It says, people will wail when he comes back. The Greek word here, kalpos, means to beat one's breast in anguish. This won't be my response. How about yours? Here comes the Son of God. Why are you upset? Here comes Jesus finally after all these years. What's the world's response? The Bible says they wail. They beat their breast like Tarzan and wail. Not going to be my response. Why are they so upset? I'll show you why. It says they look up. Now remember, it says every eye will see him. This is no secret. Every eye will see him. So they look up and they see him. And then they look down and say, uh-oh. I did what the government said to stay safe. That's the answer. You see, for 2,000 years, no one understood this. We get it now. We get it now. Now that this has happened to us, we understand. When you look down, you see what's going through your head. You see, I was deceived by the government. I did what the government said. You see, the government puts everyone on this guilt trip. Oh, do this. And they do it to buy or sell. They put everyone on this guilt trip and they say to him, be safe, stay safe. So everyone just blindly the blind, leading the blind. So they look up, they look down and see they've been deceived by the government. And they see right here, 666. And that's why people wail when he comes back. People wail because they got deceived by the one world government and they did what they said. They did what the government told them. Wow, this won't go over very well on the radio, will it? Thank God this isn't Canada. Really be in trouble. I leave you with this question today. What'll be your response when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? Will you guys rejoice that finally, after all of these years, Jesus is coming back and you'll be able to see the color of his eyes and see God face to face? Are you going to rejoice, or are you going to wail? Wail because your pastor was right, who kept warning you not to be deceived. Don't do this. If you do this, if you listen to the government for the wrong reasons, to keep safe, or to do, if those are the wrong reasons to do something like this, not to please the government. If you have your own personal reasons for doing that, then that is what it is. But not to please the government. Well, because your concerned friend and neighbor was right, who tried to warn you, not be deceived. Well, because your spouse was right, who warned you the Lord was coming back soon, and not to be deceived. You can choose your destiny and your response to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Will you rejoice, or will you wail? Will you obey God or the government? Listen now. The COVID vaccine was a trial run to see how you would do when the one world government told you to do something to be safe. Don't be selfish. Be safe. Aren't you just sick to your stomach hearing that? Don't be selfish. Be safe. Death is not the deciding factor. We lost a couple of dear folks here in this church who died. I'm not making light of anything. But death's not the deciding factor whether or not you're going to obey God or man. It's not based on death, whether or not that's the right thing to do. Neither are threats the deciding factor. Neither is someone putting you on a guilt trip the deciding factor. Do not be deceived. Look, if they got you once, shame on them. If they get you again during this time, you lose your soul. So trial run to see how you face up and how you're going to do when the government forces you to do something. Fasten your safety belts, church. We're in for an awesome time here in these coming weeks. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
New Beginnings Funeral Home alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Let's uplift our veterans by assuring them that recovery is possible. If you know a veteran struggling, please call for help or emergency services on the double. That's from New Beginnings Funeral Home at 1826 North University Drive in Pembroke Pines. In times of sorrow, rely on New Beginnings Funeral Home. Call 954-998-4714 or visit nbfuneral.com.